Lante Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Lante, Jeremy Warner, it's what we do, Monday through Friday, and we appreciate everybody listening in. And one of the things that I love about this show, Jeremy, and you're the reason for it, but we get so many great guests, and it makes our show, it makes our job easy, because listeners love listening to our great guests, correct?
Of course.
Of course.
I mean, because they don't want to listen to us for 3 hours.
No. I mean, it's fun to hear us for about a minute. And then after that, they're like, surely they're going to get to somebody else, right? And that's what we're doing now, because we're bringing in Rod Cardinal. And Rod, I'm just going to take a guess here. I'm going to guess that Brian Cardinal's happy today.
He is on cloud nine. He has said throughout this whole championship series, when he's got on the court and he's out there running, he says, it feels like my feet aren't even on the floor. It's like I'm floating on air. So he is absolutely loving life right now.
I know it's early, Rod, and obviously the championship was just won. So I know you've talked to Brian, but you haven't really probably had a chance to sit down with him kind of as a father-son. But when you look back at every great thing he's done athletically through his career, because he's been successful everywhere, where do you think this NBA championship will rank?
Well, it's going to rank at the very top at this point in time in his career. I mean, to play for a championship at that particular level, you know, having had the chance to climb that mountain just, you know, from grade school through junior high and high school up to the very top and be able to play with just some amazing players that are ultimately going to be Hall of Fame guys is just a dream come true for him.
Talking with Rod Cardinal, father of Brian Cardinal, NBA champion,
yes.
Tolono native. I'm guessing he's about the only one in the area that has an NBA championship ring coming his way. But Rod, I mean, I know he's in his mid-30s now, but what was it like watching this series and watching Brian actually play a huge role coming off the bench for them?
Well, you know, when they went ahead and made the switch a little bit where they started J.J. Barea in the lineup and then move Brian ahead of Peja Stojakovic and stuff, you know, we started to get nervous because it was a thing where, you know, I can deal with most of the stuff because he's, you know, he's going to get a minute or two here. But for him all of a sudden to have a significant role to come in and sub for Dirk and give him a few minutes here and there last night with Haywood being not able to play as well and Chandler getting into foul trouble, Sean Marion getting into foul trouble, I'm thinking, holy crap, Brian's out there guarding LeBron James. And it's like, holy cow, it just was incredible to be able to see him doing that and on the same floor. And, you know, Brian's going to always play tough, hard-nosed basketball. You know, he's not going to give up easy baskets underneath the hoop, especially during playoff times. And, you know, he asked me this morning, he said, man, Dad, what'd you think of that foul on Bosch there at one point? And I said, well, when they slowed it down, it looked bad. But he says, when you speed it up, it's just part of the game and stuff. So he says, to see him do those things is just a great feeling for his mom and I.
Well, and they call him the custodian because he cleans up the paint and everything. Dwayne Wade followed him hard, took him out of the game for a little bit, in I think it was game three.
Mm-hmm.
But who taught him to follow that hard, Rod?
Well, hey, I tell you what, I beat the crap out of him for a few years until he got into high school and stuff. And after that, there was no way I could match him, and I wasn't going to get hacked any harder than what I was already getting from him. So I think he learned it in our driveway in Tolono, and I think he picked it up pretty well.
Is the driveway made of gravel now? I mean, that's a little tougher than the hardwood.
No, it was solid concrete, and he still got the scars to deal with it.
And, Rod, it's funny. We're sitting there here talking about Brian, but it's got to be neat for you and your wife. I mean, to watch him come up through the ranks like he has. You and I kind of talked a little bit off the air of, as a father myself of a son that's 11 years old, when he takes the pitching mound each weekend, I get so nervous watching him. I can't imagine watching my son in an NBA Finals. I mean, you're supposed to enjoy these things, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we did enjoy it, but at the same time, you know, I swear to God, when I looked at the clock last night, it stayed at the six-minute mark for I don't know how long. I swear it didn't move. I see the players running up and down the court, and every time I look at the clock, it still said 6 minutes. And then, with about 3 minutes to go, I was standing, and I was pacing, and I couldn't, it was like I couldn't breathe. So I go to walk out in the backyard in the peace and quiet and darkness, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to find my solitude here. And all of a sudden, from another part of the house, I hear my wife yell, Way to go, Dirk, way to go. I'm thinking, crap, I can't even get any peace and quiet in my backyard.
Talking with Rod Cardinal, proud papa of Brian Cardinal, NBA champion with the Dallas Mavericks. I know Dirk has given a lot of credit to Brian, really improving his game. In your talks with Brian, what's his interaction been like with Dirk, who a lot of people think is one of the greatest, at least most intriguing players, at least skill set-wise, that we've seen in the NBA?
Well, for one thing, he says about Dirk is he's unbelievably focused and disciplined, probably the most disciplined guy he's ever played with in 11 years. I commented one time when I had gone early to a game with Brian, you know, the different guys come out for warm-ups and individual workouts and stuff like that, and I never see Dirk. And I says, I'm thinking, well, can't he come out and do the thing, too, to warm up? And Brian says, no, what you don't see is he goes into the practice gym, and he has a 45-minute structured workout that he says it's harder than the game. He says he goes in there. He says, I'd be tired by the time the game rolls around, but that's just getting him rolling. And he does this every day before a ball game when they're at home. He's just focused and disciplined and goes through every shot, twist, turn, fadeaway, movement that there is. So, he says he's a great guy and just, to help build the camaraderie and stuff there. I was down there for the Dallas or for the Lakers series, Brian gets a text one afternoon and it's from Dirk and it's to all his teammates. He goes, yoga and margaritas at my place, 5:00.
I love it.
So, it's one of those things where they knew how to work together, how to build a partnership, and how to trust one another.
That is neat. Rod Cardinal, we've got about two and a half minutes left, so I want to ask you about the Illini alumni game that's coming up. But my final question on Brian is this, and I know you don't have an answer for it, but if it was me, you just won a championship, just slip off into the distance.
Well, I think, he's got three kids, so it's not going to slip too far because the kids will keep him back down on earth. But I think he and Danielle will work to they'll probably have some vacation time.
Sure.
Once things settle down, they've got a parade on Thursday and they got some other civic things to deal with, and then they'll finally pack up their house in Dallas and move back to their home in Indiana for the summertime.
Well, that's neat, and I know that'll be a big decision for him. Well, let's move on to this Illini alumni game. Man, Jeremy was reading off some of the guys coming back. Well, that is going to be fun to watch, Rod.
Well, they've always been fun. The last ones that we've done have been just spectacular. The guys are anxious and eager to come back here, and it'll be fun to see, Frank Williams back out on the court and Demir and, Trent and, Kevin Turner and just, some of the real all-time great guys. Kiwan Garris, sent me an email the other day and said he can't wait, and Arch is looking forward to getting back on the court, and
that's great.
Even Nate Mast is challenging Sean Harrington to a one-on-one thing, which is a little bit of trash stuff going on. I'm gonna have to separate those two guys and put them on separate teams.
Well, I love it. Well, Rod, it's something that we're gonna, of course, talk about as we get closer to it. But
sure.
As usual, you do a great job of setting that stuff up, and I can't thank you enough for coming on today and giving us a little perspective into Brian's world, because I know he's got to be fired up about the championship.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys, and go Mavericks.
There you go. Thank you, Rod Cardinal.
Bye-bye.
You have a great day. Rod Cardinal, former trainer with the University of Illinois and proud papa, like you said, to an NBA champion, Brian Cardinal.
And he played a big role.
Played a huge role.
Watching him last night, that he's part of the reason LeBron struggled a lot.
Yep.
He knew that if he went to the paint, he had to deal with somebody.
Well, listen, next hour, I want to reach out and see if there's anybody out there that played with Brian in high school. I mean, is there anybody out there that's listening now that played with Brian? Can you believe that your former teammate is now an NBA champion? If that happened, give us a call, 359-2255. Come up with some funny stories about Brian. That's what I want to hear. That'd be great. Anybody that knew him growing up, because I know there's a lot of people in that Philo, Tolono, Pasotum area that are very proud. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're talking some NBA playoffs today. The championship is over. And the Miami Heat have won. Wasn't there a paper in Miami that actually posted that?
The Miami Herald ran an ad from Macy's that said, congratulations, Heat, with all the Heat memorabilia, the 2011 NBA champions. Yeah, they didn't win. It ran under a story about them losing. Somebody in the ad department probably getting in trouble today for that.
They might. Or maybe they're thinking, you know what? They should have won that thing.
Well, they celebrated about 11 months ago, so they might as well just hand out that gear, right?
That's it. There's nothing wrong with that because that was the best team. Or so they say. Steve Breitweiser, sports director, WICD, News Channel 15. Steve, how are you, buddy?
What is going on?
Making your debut.
Incredible. Incredible day. I mean, the sun was out, perfect temps. Beautiful. I mean, is there any question it had anything to do with the Mavericks taking down the Heat last night?
I'm thinking not. I'm thinking that it was just going to be a beautiful day anyway. Should we be this excited, Steve, at our age? Should we get this excited when our teams win?
Sure.
Why not, right?
You got to be excited. I mean, that's still, you know, I go back, you know, I grew up in Dallas in the early 80s, and, you know, that was my first connection with a professional sports franchise would be those early 80s Mavericks of, you know, Derek Harper at the point, Rolando Blackman at the off guard, nice. Mark Aguirre at the three, Sam Perkins and Big James Donaldson. I mean, that's where it got started. And the only crime that that team ever committed was they just could never beat the Lakers. Nobody else could either.
Was Roy Tarpley on that team?
He was the sixth man of the year.
That's right.
One year for them. But, yeah, that was when they had it really cranking, like in 88. But, you know, you go back, and it's for that franchise. I mean, for that franchise, when they came, people got to understand about Dallas. I mean, it's a Cowboys town, flat out. I mean, it's always going to be a Cowboys town. You know, that's the way it is. Somebody tweaks a hamstring. I mean, that's the lead story. End of it. But that's a basketball town, too. I mean, they love their Mavericks there. I mean, and the Mavericks, I mean, you look at it, what they've been able to do. I mean, you had the greatness of those teams in the 80s that just couldn't get past, you know, Magic and the Lakers. And then really you had a decrepit 90s, a 90s that you'd rather forget. I don't remember the picture in the Sports Illustrated where the guys had the sign out that said, "We got next game." But, I mean, up until, you know, the Sixers the other day, I mean, they were like the second worst team in the history of the world.
Yes.
That's when they had Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson. Who else? There was another J on that
team. Mashburn, the three J's.
That's right.
And that was after the most horrific offensive years. But and that happened, and that was kind of a pause on the way back. But then you got Cuban coming in, splashing the money around with the convergence of the new arena there. And, you know, it's been nothing but short of a tremendous ever since.
Talking with Steve Breitweiser, sports director at WICD News Channel 15. Steve, a big Mavs fan, and you brought it up. I was going to ask, basketball in Dallas. I mean, we think about the Cowboys all the time. It is that big of a deal, I guess, in Dallas. And I think a lot of people are loving the Mavericks today. They might be America's team because they beat the Miami Heat, the evil Miami Heat.
Well, that's just it with them. I mean, you know, you look at it, and I think I saw the map, you know, the voting around the country, what everybody wanted to have happen. And the only place in America that wanted the Heat to win was obviously down there in Florida. There wasn't one other state that wanted. So they were able to go ahead and convince it. But I think, you know, if you just look at it, I mean, finally somebody got after that team. And I think that's what we kind of wanted to see out of the Eastern Conference Finals. And for whatever reason, it didn't never quite materialize with Chicago. But that's finally, you know, you look at what, like, Deshaun Stevenson was doing and just being aggressive and kind of, you know, pushing back and not taking, you know, the stuff and all the theatrics of them flopping all over the place and making a big scene of it and the coughing incident. And you know, and I mean, everybody was just tired of it. Yeah. And so finally you had a group of guys, a veteran team, a kind of a collection of misfits, you know, along with Nowitzki, you know, who's playing the role of the true superstar. But, I mean, you look at Terry, kind of a cast-off. And, you know, Kidd certainly has had numerous opportunities to get it done, but just elite-level player. And, you know, you look at Sean Marion. Sean Marion, all these guys just come together, a convergence of all these weird styles, and it couldn't have been a better collection of guys to just be a veteran team and sort of take them down.
And I have a new favorite player, the under 6 foot, I appreciate him, J.J. Barea. I mean, where did this kid come from? He's just a joy to watch out there. When you think of him and Jason Terry outplaying Dwayne Wade and Mario Chalmers, the Dallas outplaying the backcourt of Miami, it's been an unbelievable story.
Yeah, you can't forget that, like, the role, you know, the NBA is about role players, like, when you need them the most. And so when it comes down to it last night, like, obviously you're talking Brian Cardinal, but, you know, J.J. Barea. You know, these are the guys winning titles for you, you know? So when you're trying to make, you know, you're always doing the salary cap and trying to figure out who would go best on a team. Like, you need those guys in there. But, I mean, is it lost on anybody that, you know, I remember last night it was Mark Jackson said something like this, you know, Dwayne Wade has the look of a guy who's going to take over this game. And I guess he wasn't looking at J.J. Barea. Because that guy had the look of the guy who was taking over the game at that exact moment he was saying that. But, I mean, he has been tremendous all playoffs long. You go back to, you know, what he did against the Lakers and, I mean, that just critical for them.
Steve, did the best team win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
It's as simple as that.
Because this isn't NCAA tournament. It's not one and done, and there's no accidents here. I mean, you got to win a series, and you know, I go back to you look at what they did against Portland. That was a lot tougher. If you're watching that series, they needed to get out of there. I think they needed to prove something to themselves. And
sure.
When they blew that huge you know, fourth quarter lead they have, it had in Portland. I mean, but we're still able to win that series. That said something right there. And then I don't think it was maybe that much of a surprise if you'd been watching that series that they could be as competitive with L.A. And
correct.
Just, I mean, that turned into a throttling nobody could have imagined. But I think everybody knew that that was going to be a series where it was on. And then you saw it against Oklahoma City, and it just continued on through. But, they've been resilient all the way from the very start of the postseason. So it's not surprising when you go back and look at it now and say, it happened because it fit the template all the way through it.
It's funny, Steve. I don't follow the NBA that much, and I remember the day after, I actually watched some of that Portland Mavericks game when Portland came back from, what were they down? They were down like 18, 19, and I remember coming in the next day and looking at Jeremy on the air, and I said, what in the world was that with the Mavericks? Are they done? And look what they've done since.
Yeah, you never turn off a Mavericks game in the postseason, especially when they're up huge. That's just a rule because... You know how it goes.
Yes.
Over the last few years, but maybe you look at it now. They had to go through losing the Golden States and embarrassing losses to get to this point. I mean, I think it's all part of it. So maybe that's if somebody out there that really loves the Heat or has at least been a Dwayne Wade fan, watching him through the years up here in this area, maybe that's something that's just part of it. I don't know if they can be a totally sympathetic, figure at this point. As a club, but maybe it helps get them to that point where it begins to turn. This is something they have to go through.
Steve, we'll let you go here in about a minute. I know you got some stuff to do, but Steve Breitweiser from WICD News Channel 15, the sports director over there. I know you're a guy in the media, but a lot of the media attention today is on the Miami Heat and LeBron James and everything. Does that bother you? Do you think the Mavericks are still getting their due today?
Oh, yeah. They're getting their due. They're getting their due, but I mean, it's from a media standpoint, I mean, it's always... It's a lot more sexy to try to figure out what went wrong sometimes than what went right. So all the microscope is going to be on what went wrong. And I think, they wouldn't be, you wouldn't be covering it if you didn't think it was going to, interest the viewership or the readership. I mean, that's what people want to talk about. I mean, it didn't have, in a headline of the Post or whatever up in New York, it didn't say, Mavs win the title. It said beach bums.
Exactly.
That's what's going on. So, I mean, I think you can have it both ways. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I mean, you can acknowledge that the Mavs, for that series, for the postseason run they had, have been absolutely greatness. And at the same time, you kind of get into taking a look at the sort of the fourth quarter disappearing act of LeBron and the fact that when the game was in doubt, 4 minutes to go, down 7 or 8 points, instead of taking the ball to the rim, and trying to make something happen, he was content to wing it around to the Eddie Houses and the Mario Chalmers of the world and defer, and just like the other night when he was just in the corner.
Yep.
And just didn't want to be part of it, and that's the thing, and who knows, maybe it's going to take that to get something greater out of it, but for right now, that the criticism is justified and it's there, but I think you can do that and also acknowledge how great the Mavs played to put them in that position.
Steve, as a fan, how happy are you for Dirk Nowitzki, and what does this do now for his legacy?
Oh, I think he's it shoots him way up. I don't know if it elevates him into like the the conversation of 10 greatest players of all time or anything, but I mean it gets him in the discussion of. He's up there. He's probably in that next tier below that because he does have one, and I know he's not in that group of great players who doesn't have one. So obviously you gotta bump him up a notch. But I think the thing with him that's so interesting to me is because they kept saying, as long as you got Dirk and you kind of build around it components, I think you begin honestly to wonder if they would ever be able to do that with him. Certainly, him getting a little bit older, the team in general getting a little bit older. If they could surround him with the guys. And I always go back to me. I've always been very critical of when this, let Steve Nash go. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing occurred just because I thought, the initial thing was sort of, I hated to see that be broke up. And to this day, I still do. But what has happened since then is they've just kind of stayed after it. They got Donnie Nelson there working, you know, behind the scenes, you know, making sure that, you know, he pulls in the right guys. And I just really feel like, you know, here's a team that's just kept winning 50 games every year in the regular season. And sooner or later, something good was going to happen for them. And, you know, they got there the one time. They didn't finish it off. This time, they were able to get there and make it happen.
Steve, Illinois basketball announced its alumni game. I know you're over with Bruce Weber talking to the media. Anything interesting come out of that?
Well, I mean, you know, I wear some light, you know, loose-fitting clothing August 6th to the Assembly Hall. I mean, I hope that the weather turns down a little bit. But, I mean, you know, you joke because it'll be definitely hot in there, that's for sure, when they had this other thing in September the last time. But, man, you know, anytime you can get the majority of those 2005 guys back, I mean, that is such a humongous draw.
Yep.
People just, you know, that team, I mean, there's only certain teams that have gone through that just – people just automatically, you know, if they see those guys, it brings them right back to that moment. And I think, you know, anytime you're going to get Darren D. Luther, you know, I saw Jack Ingram was on there, and you know, the other guys from that team were, you know, able to show up, and I think the list may grow a little bit. You know, it's kind of what it sounded like, that they may be able to get a few more commitments from some guys. So who knows ultimately what that final list would look like. I mean, you know, that's cool stuff. And, I mean, you know, I always, like, what, you know, if that's going on, you probably want to go over there and see that, right?
I agree. I agree.
I mean, and I'm sure they'll do all kinds of, you know, like when we were there the last time for the Night of Legends, I mean, those guys stuck around and they signed autographs, and people were able to, you know, go up and talk to, like, Nick Anderson or Kendall Gill and, you know, have a great time. And you know, those guys would give everybody a couple, you know, a couple minutes to talk to, you know, if they could. I mean, I think, you know, it's a great thing. Like Weber said, they can't do it every year because it would get kind of mundane to always. But
sure,
every once in a while, if it works out in terms of, like, you know, Williams' commitment with the national team, and, you know, other guys can get organized with their Europe schedules and all that stuff, then do it and let everybody have a great time with it. And I think, you know, it's awesome that they can do something like that, because I think there's a lot of programs that probably would wish they could do something like that.
Steve Breitweiser, sports director, WICD News Channel 15. He's a happy man today. He is a Dallas Mavericks fan, and he's on cloud nine. You and Brian Cardinal both.
I'm telling you, man, Brian Cardinal, I love when they say he plays the game the right way.
Yep.
Like, that's code word for, if you come in there, he's going to break your wrist. Like, that is, because, I mean,
exactly.
Those fouls, I mean, he had the shot to the face last night, which was a very professional foul, but, you know, he just was coming through, and then I think he had one on Haslam, where I think Haslam didn't even want to get up, because he felt the Tolono buzzsaw
exactly
come on down on him. But I'm a little bit, I think the custodian is a fun nickname. Like, we like that. That's fun.
Yes.
But I just, he's so violent to me. Like, you got to give him a more, you know, hard, like, street-sounding nickname than the custodian. Because, like, a custodian is not going to, you know, he's not going to hurt you.
Correct.
When you go in there. So I like the Tolono hammer.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You know, I'd like to see something like that. So maybe they could get a contest going or.
It's not a bad idea.
But I said, too, I mean, the people at Tolono, you got to get a sign up, you know, right out there off the main road. Home of Brian Cardinal.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got to get a sign. It better be, like, as big as, you know, as strong as him, you know, coming off so everybody can see it.
Heck, put it on the water tower.
Exactly.
How about that?
That's right. Do even better. Just go ahead and get it up there so everybody will never forget it.
I love it. Steve, thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Steve Breitweiser joining us and fired up today. Yeah, I mean, Philo's got the center of the universe. Huh. Tolono could be home of Brian Cardinal.
Yeah, why not, Tolono?
Great
put
idea.
Put that, I mean, even like when kids go to state for track or something, they put those signs up. What do you got to do? NBA championships not worthy of that? Come on. I think that's water tower worthy.
I bet they're already in the planning stages, you think?
What do you think about the NBA Finals? LeBron, another fourth quarter failure. The Mavericks winning. Brian Cardinal. Got any Brian Cardinal stories?
I want
to
hear.
I'd love to hear anybody that went up against him in high school. 217-359-2255. That's 359-2255.
And would you want Mark Cuban as your owner? Cub fans, you almost had him. Would you want him? 359-2255. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.